Welcome to Feel Better, Live More Bite Size, your weekly dose of positivity and optimism to get you ready for the weekend. Today's Bite Size is brought to you by AG1, one of the most nutrient-dense whole food supplements that I've come across, and I myself have been drinking it regularly for over 5 years. It contains vitamins, minerals, probiotics, prebiotics, digestive enzymes, and so much more, and can help with energy, focus, gut health, digestion, and support a healthy immune system. If you go to drinkag1.com/livemore, they are giving my listeners a very special offer. For the month of May only, AG1 are giving you a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 10 free travel packs instead of the usual 5 with your first purchase. See all details at drinkag1.com/livemore. Today's clip is from episode 394 of the podcast with 103-year-old Dr. Gladys McGarry, co-founder of the American Holistic Medical Association and author of the fantastic book, The Well-Lived Life, 102-year-old Doctor's Secrets to Health and Happiness at Every Age. For many people today, finding one's purpose in life can feel like an optional extra. But Gladys believes that each and every single one of us holds a unique purpose, a true reason for being here. And in this clip, she invites you to find yours. In your book, you have these 6 secrets. They're very, very powerful. Out of these 6 secrets, the number one secret is you are here for a reason. So I wonder if you could explain, how do you see purpose, or what you call in the book juice, right? How do we find our juice? And then people who are struggling and don't feel they found theirs yet, what guidance would you give to them?
Just start looking for it. You know, until you start looking for something, you don't see it. You think that you're stuck in a job that has no purpose for you, but what purpose are you looking for? I knew when I was 2 that I was a doctor. I didn't think I was going to be one. I was. My dolls were always sick. I was always trying to fix my dolls. And I think one of the things that helped me so much was my mother and dad understood that. And they listened. And it's, I think a lot of children come in knowing their destiny, and then we don't realize what they're really saying to us. And we all have a purpose. We're here for a really good purpose. What is it that makes you want to really take a deep breath and say, oh, yes, it's a new day? What is it that you really know is part of who you are? And you may not have even thought about that because you thought you had to make the money to do the things to buy the house. You thought you had to manifest these things, and you've done it and you've worked at it and you're, but why? What is it? Where is it that you are looking for something that makes you sing, that makes you want to dance, that makes you, maybe it's in your dreams. Maybe it's a neighbor down the street who is really having a hard time and you haven't noticed. You know, it's looking for ways in which you can actually do something that helps you, yourself, and others, because for life to be real, it has to move. If it gets stuck, then it dies. Life cannot move unless we, as our inner core, are directing it to move.
You know, in the introduction, you write about the shift in perspective, and you write about something called moving towards life, which I really like. It's the central philosophy, right? I think, behind the entire book. So if I think about that through the lens of purpose, And let's say that parents, maybe in midlife now, who feels a bit stuck, who feels that, you know what, I don't really enjoy my job, but it pays for a roof over my head and it helps me feed my family. Now, it's interesting that you say the central thing we need to get right is get our perspective right. A lot of people right. have tough lives, right? So I'm not trying
Absolutely.
To paper over the cracks here, but let's take that parent, this hypothetical parent. You could look at that negatively and go, I don't like this job. It's mundane. It's tedious. But yeah, I need to do it because it pays the mortgage and feeds my family. But could you also, through the lens of your approach, saying we are here for a reason, maybe in that moment, the fact that that job feeds their children and themselves and puts a roof over their heads, well, can that not be the purpose of that job?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What greater purpose, you know? And if you can put that energy into what is that you're doing, the resentment goes away. Because then you're doing it for your family. And you know you're doing it for your family. You know, there are times when you get stuck and you can't see the way out. It's so dark and painful. If you can allow yourself to move with that pain to where it's teaching you what it is. Now, maybe it is. Well, I'm the breadwinner for this family and wow, you know, this is great. Or I'm a seamstress but look at the things I can do and work with to help other, you know, it's putting some purpose into what it is that you're doing.
Yeah.
And every thing that you do can be a part of the purpose.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that, Gladys. You mentioned earlier on in this conversation that you have a 10-year plan. And what's interesting to me when I hear that is the common narrative in society around aging is pretty negative. You're going to lose your memory. You're going to lose your focus. You're going to lose your physical abilities. You know, people generally, as they get older, to my knowledge, I don't hear many people talking about 10-year plans. So it's very inspiring to hear you at the age of 102 talk about your 10-year plan. The plan is interesting for sure. I'd love to hear about it. But what's more interesting to me is the fact that you have a plan, that you are still curious. You're still looking forward. There are still things you want to do. I guess, speaking to secret one, you still have your purpose.
Yeah. Well, I do. And it's a matter of being aware that I'm alive right now, doing what I need to do right now, because there's more to be done. It's that kind of a thought. Not whether it's 6 years or 5 years or, you know, you put a number on it to give yourself a direction. Life has to move. As soon as it gets stuck, it's reaching towards death. So it's that constant movement of moving forward. The 10-year can move forward. You may not make it, but it's a moving target.
Yeah.
And it's real.
I love that. As you were speaking then, I was also thinking, in some ways, it doesn't, again, this is just my perspective, but to me, it seems that in some ways, it doesn't actually matter whether the 10-year plan gets realized or not, whether it's your 10-year plan or my 10-year plan. The point is, you have a plan that's keeping you going.
It's not a fixed something, you know. If I'm going to reach for something, I'm going to reach for it. And maybe I'll make it. the try is accorded to him or her for righteousness. If we're trying to do something, we're righteous people. We're doing the right thing. So if we're, whether we make it or not, is whatever happens, you know. I have so many things that I have tried to do. My kids have called them, they're my almosts. You know, I almost made it here on this. We almost got that huge thing that we would almost. I've had so many almosts, but they are things that have led me along the path to be where I am. And how in the world could I have imagined doing this? I mean, it's beyond possibility. And yet, here we are.
I wanted to ask you about this idea of living in the moment. You write about this in the book, this idea of being present, being able to really experience life right here, right now. As you said, the only thing that matters at this moment in time from me, and as you said, from you, is our interaction. It's, can we be present in life right now? Because that's health, that's happiness, that's everything, right? Being present. Yet many of us struggle with presence. Are there any practices you would recommend to people who struggle to be present, who constantly thinking about something else other than where they currently are? You know, what have you found to be helpful with patients who struggle with this in the past?
If you're stuck, accepting the fact that you're stuck and look for something else. In other words, if life seems so dark or painful, or it's like the time, and I'll use stories again.
Sure.
When my husband asked for a divorce after 46 years, and I was devastated. I was I couldn't imagine this. And so I'm really, really in a dark hole. I'd go out into the desert and just howl like the coyotes there. I mean, it was just, so this one day I'm driving home and I'm crying. I'm really crying. And I'm saying, God, you just don't understand. You don't understand how hard it is. And all of a sudden I pulled over to the side of the road and I stopped. And the quote came to me, "This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I took a deep breath and I said, "Okay, okay, okay." And I put my license plate, "Be glad." So from that day on, every time I got into my car and drove around the city of Phoenix, I was saying, "Be glad." In other words, when you're in a situation where you really, really think life has ended, it hasn't. You have to stop and give it time for the message to come to you, you know, because it's there. And that really turned things around for me so that I was able to go on. I think we as human beings go through these really difficult times. I've had patients say to me, "Oh, well," after telling their story, they say, "Oh, well, you would never understand because you've always had it so easy." And my answer is, "Oh, honey, if you only knew." Yeah. So it's a matter of understanding that we're all in it together. You know, we all have hard times, and there is always, always light coming if we reach for it, if we're not going to reach for it, if we're not going to really see that the sun does come up in the morning, then it's going to always be dark.
Yeah, thank you. Gladys, we're living in a time now where many people are really struggling. They're struggling with their mental well-being. They're worried about the future of the planet. They're worried about what they watch on the news. They're struggling with their physical health. So you have over 8 decades worth of clinical experience. But for that person right now who feels stuck in their life and can't see a way out, what advice would you give them?
Start loving your life. Start loving yourself. Start understanding that the very essence of love is what is healing. It heals everything. A mother kissing her child's boo-boo starts the healing process. But the whole aspect of healing, true healing of our beings, is love. So if we can focus on what it is in our lives that we love and what it is that we want to continue to share with other people, because we want other people to love too.
Hope you enjoyed that bite-sized clip. Do spread the love by sharing this episode with your friends and family. And if you want more, why not go back and listen to the original full conversation with my guest? If you enjoyed this episode, I think you will really enjoy my bite-sized Friday email. It's called the Friday Five. And each week I share things that I do not share on social media. It contains 5 short doses of positivity, articles or books that I'm reading, quotes that I'm thinking about, exciting research I've come across, and so much more. I really think you're going to love it. The goal is for it to be a small yet powerful dose of feel good to get you ready for the weekend. You can sign up for it free of charge at drchatterjee.com/Friday5. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Make sure you have pressed subscribe, and I'll be back next week with my long form conversation on Wednesday, and the latest episode of Bite Science next Friday.